I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What song appropriately captures your emotions right now? And when we talk about sports, how do you feel? We're all up in our feels, and we're using sports to help us express ourselves. That's what happens when you have an emotional chick host a radio show. I am absolutely an emotional girl. Very emotional, and it makes me good at my job, but sometimes I also have to temper those emotions when I'm hosting and not let them get the best of me. It takes a lot of practice. I can't say that I do it right all the time, but I do know that the emotions right now are running a lot higher. Not my temperature, just my emotions. I've tried to keep a lid on my enthusiasm. I have tried to keep this great anticipation bottled away, but I've lost that battle. In the last 24 hours, I've completely lost that battle. And this is when it really hit me. I was biking. So we had thunderstorms. Penny was hiding in the bathroom. We had thunder and lightning, and really loud thunder and lightning and a bunch of rain on Wednesday in my neighborhood. And I couldn't bike or run outside. Oh my gosh, it was 96% humidity yesterday afternoon. And so I really didn't want to go outside anyway. At least Penny and I have that in common. And so I was riding my recumbent bike, and I was thinking how much I wished there were a baseball game to watch, right? Because I have a TV that is in my utility room where my bike is. But I also have Sirius XM satellite radio. And so I can pipe it through a speaker. I can watch it on TV. And I kept thinking, this would go so much more quickly. I did an hour on the bike, about 13 miles. This would go so much more quickly if I had a baseball game to keep me company. I really missed it when I was sitting there. And, you know, I haven't missed it as much over the last 2 months because I've been so wrapped up in moving, packing, lifting, cleaning, more packing, more cleaning, unpacking, so much more cleaning, and the process of getting into my first ever house. So that's taken a lot of my time up, and so I haven't felt a void. But on Wednesday night as I was biking, I was thinking, how much I wish I could flip around and watch a game and listen to another game. And then I just thought about this time tomorrow, there will be baseball on my TV. And then as I was seeing the NBA teams hit the floor in a ballroom with fake crowd noise, whatever, it's still basketball and it's blissful. At least it sounds like it's blissful in the bubble. In fact, coming up later this hour, we're going to spend some time with Matt Moore, who's covered the NBA for a long time. He's now with the Action Network in Denver. And we'll talk to him about why it's working in the bubble, because like it or not, peeps, it is absolutely working in the bubble. Now, there was a bit of a snafu for the Blue Jays. You may have heard this on Wednesday. Everybody in the baseball world is in favor of the Blue Jays sharing PNC Park with the Pirates and potentially, you know, maybe a few games at Camden Yards in Baltimore. Even Pittsburgh authorities were all for it, meaning municipal authorities. The governor of Pennsylvania nixed it. And so it went up the chain, it went up the flagpole, and the governor said no. So that's why yesterday when we sat here on the show, I talked to you about how, you know, the Blue Jays had found a home and they were going to share with the Pirates at PNC Park, one of my favorite ballparks in the majors, and the governor of Pennsylvania nixed it.
Thank you.
And so right now there's still a team without a home, unfortunately for them. You know, it's the same thing in Canada. Toronto authorities were going to allow them to have all of the various privileges and stipulations that were required for them to travel back and forth across the border from the U.S., including, the teams that would have to play in Toronto, allowing them to come in without quarantining. There would be certain health and safety protocols that have to follow, but the authorities in Toronto were ready to go. It was the Canadian federal government that nixed it. And so right now you can't just operate as an island unto yourself. You can't just grab those waivers and say, oh yeah, come on in. I mean, you've got to get permission from the federal government. And so in the case of the Blue Jays now, they're still trying to figure out exactly what to do. It feels like Buffalo would be a great answer, but it also sounds like the Blue Jays organization is set on having their games at major league parks or a major league park, not a minor league park, which is what they have in Buffalo. But at least you would have your own home field, quote unquote, in Buffalo. You'd have your own stadium, your own space. You wouldn't have to be on the road for every game. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But yeah, that was a bit of a setback for the Blue Jays and certainly for Major League Baseball. But it's still happening. It's all happening. It's here, and I can't keep a lid on my excitement anymore. So I told you Danger Zone is a song that I feel like is appropriate for my emotions about sports right now because of the adrenaline, but also because there is this element of flying headlong into the unknown. But I have some other songs, too, and we'll drop those in. Some of your suggestions are amazing. Daryl on Facebook says, "Oh, happy day," from the Edwin Hawkins Singers. Chris, the Pointer Sisters. I have not heard a Pointer Sisters song in forever, but the Pointer Sisters, I'm so excited. In fact, I've had a couple of different people post that. Wendy said the same thing. Jeremy on Facebook, "Baby, I'm back" from Baby Bash. let's see. Browning says, "We are the champions," because the Nationals haven't had a chance to celebrate with us fans yet. This one from Maureen is brilliant. "We are never, ever getting back together." That's Taylor Swift. And I mentioned that Taylor would have many songs that were appropriate for this. Jim agrees with "Welcome to the Jungle." That's Guns N' Roses. How about this one, Dave? This is also brilliant. Michael on Facebook, "Living on a Prayer." Great Bon Jovi song. Certainly works perfectly. Rich on Facebook, "For the leagues in a bubble, we all live in a yellow submarine." Oh my gosh. A yellow submarine with buffets and golf courses and barbers and Xboxes. Wait, are those out of date now or Xbox is still cool? Are they okay? The Switch.
Yeah, that's still cool.
Wait, what does the Switch go with?
The Switch is Nintendo.
Oh, okay. So my nieces both have a Switch. One has a Switch. One's a handheld Switch, and I don't even know. The other one's a console. Is it a console?
So the Switch is like a handheld thing, but that has...
Thing! Oh, good. That's a technical term for it, yes.
handheld video game system that you can take off on each side of the handheld system. You can use them as like remotes.
Okay.
Handheld remotes as well. It's you know, kind of like... There's three different ways to use it.
You can also
connect it to like an actual Nintendo system on the TV as well.
Okay, so one of my nieces has just a little handheld version, or she only uses it as a handheld. The other one has one that is connected to their Nintendo at home. So anyway, they I don't know if they have an Xbox still, but they do have Nintendo Switch. Let's see. Cedric on Facebook, "Nickelback's Burn It to the Ground." Are there actually Nickelback fans out there? Nickelback, "Burn It to the Ground." And he says that's the opening song for WWE on Monday Night Raw. And also Queen, "We Are the Champions." Some of you are still doom and gloom. Eric says Phil Collins, "I Don't Care Anymore." And then Joshua says definitely "Celebration" by Kool and the Gang, which if I'm not mistaken is an 80s song. That was one that when I was a kid, we used to have at the roller skating rink. Oh, I loved Friday night at the roller skating rink. It was so great. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And again, many of you are cracking me up with your suggestions. I think you're very creative. And so I'm all about the emotions, whatever they happen to be, and giving you an outlet for your emotions. So thanks for finding us on either Twitter or on Facebook. And some of you are unkind, and so I'm deleting those posts. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Let's see. Other news in Major League Baseball, Mike Trout is all in now. He has said for sure he is going to compete in this 2020 season. So he confirms that he will play. And then Mookie Betts with a huge contract extension to tack on to what the Dodgers are paying him in 2020. So Mookie calls this a dream come true, says it's all his hard work that has paid off. No doubt the Dodgers are over the moon. They didn't even have to get him to play one game, one real game in Dodger blue before he committed for essentially the rest of his career. Here's Jim Bowden, former baseball executive on CBS Sports HQ.
Well, certainly they gave him a market deal, a fair deal. He needed to be paid more than Machado and Bryce Harper, and he belonged under Mike Trout, and that's what he got. A three-year, $365 million deal basically, to me, was the marketplace. And you've got to give a lot of credit to Andrew Friedman, the president of baseball operations, and Dave Roberts, the manager. Their strong leadership skills, their strong people skills, they were able to sell bets on Los Angeles in a very short period of time. Certainly, the Dodgers have a great team. They're favored to win the league. But they were also able to show Mookie Betts how strong their farm system is, how strong their long-term future looks, how they have the resources to go get the star players, but more importantly, how they put a lot of emphasis on player development and scouting. Betts fell in love with Los Angeles. How do you not? And for him, it's the perfect fit. He's getting paid market value. And for the Dodgers to be able to have two MVP caliber players with him and Bellinger for the next several years certainly bodes well for their future.
No doubt. Longtime front office executive Jim Bowden on CBS Sports HQ. And this is huge for the Dodgers, but also really impressive. He points to their people skills in the front office, and that certainly does include Dave Roberts, who is known. Now, Dave Roberts has a history with Boston, obviously, but known for being a player's manager, known for being a guy who listens to his players, who allows them to be who they are, who doesn't stifle them. He doesn't rule with a heavy hand, so to speak. He communicates with them the way that he wanted to be communicated with when he was a player. And they have this financial flexibility as well. And Jim also refers to Cody Bellinger, the reigning NL MVP, who, by the way, had a belly blast. Such a funny nickname. A belly blast, a grand slam, actually, on Saturday night when I was watching the Dodgers in one of their exhibition games. But he's got a couple more years before he becomes a free agent. Walker Buehler, they believe, is a star for both the current and the future. They've got a really good young core. And to add Mookie Betts and not have to worry about him for the next decade plus is amazing. I mean, that kind of job security is almost unheard of in sports. It's, you know, reserved for a very select few. But to have that kind of assurance from the Dodgers' perspective. Now, will he still be generating 100 runs and you know, winning gold gloves when he's 40? Probably not. But if you win a couple World Series, you don't care. You'll give him every last penny of that contract if he helps you win a couple World Series, because then he will have earned every last dollar of that deal and then some in the eyes of the Dodgers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so we've got the news from Major League Baseball. How about the news from the world of football, which is that there's no news. they haven't yet come to their final agreement on the finances. Of course, they've determined there will be no preseason games. They determined that they will have more time in shorts and t-shirts, more conditioning, more days in which they're not wearing pads, as opposed to having the contact, because there were no real OTAs and no real off season, and they want to be sure everybody's in shape. Players Association worried, of course, about guys getting injured because they're not ready to be out there and to be wearing pads. And so that part, they're still, you know, they've agreed to. at least in terms of the number of days. Roster sizes, they are roughly around 80. I don't think that's going to change. And no preseason games. But a lot of the money, the opt-out clauses, those are the final details they have to get in place even as guys start to report. Something else, though, you may have heard, Andrew Whitworth, who's the great offensive lineman for the Los Angeles Rams, he actually had to, he and his family had to quarantine because the entire family ended up coming down with COVID-19. And so he was speaking about it on Wednesday.
I think I always had a realistic view of the fact that if I'm going to be a professional athlete and keep playing this game with this virus going on, the chances that I would come across it or really have to overcome it at some point are pretty realistic. I mean, for sports to happen, it's almost, I think, foolish to think you're not going to run across the virus at some point.
I don't know if it makes him feel better that he and his family went through this already and came out the other side. He's the second Ram who tested positive for COVID-19. And so he's kind of opening up about his family's experience. Thankfully, and then they say they took precautions, but they do believe that there were things they could have done differently in hindsight. And so now they're trying to use their experience because they can still talk about it. They're still around. They've come through it. But thankfully that's the case. But they want to be able to, you know, to share that experience and that wisdom now with other people. They think, this is kind of interesting, they think that they're live-in nanny went to San Diego, ate at a restaurant where there was ultimately an outbreak, and that's how it happened in their family. So he and his wife both got the virus, and then there were a handful of other family members who also tested positive. But yeah, their nanny went to San Diego, ate at a restaurant that ultimately had an outbreak. They didn't have her quarantine when she got back to them. And so they feel like that's a mistake where they could have prevented it. But I mean, to watch all four of your kids go through it, to have you and your wife go through it, again, the news is positive because none of it turned out to be fatal and the family is recovered. But to hear their story and to hear Andrew talk about playing football this year and recognizing that there is that risk, I mean, he can speak to it himself. And same thing with Russell Westbrook, who is now with the Houston Rockets in Orlando and is encouraging people to not overlook the fact that this is a virus that can turn into a serious disease.
I'm not a doctor nor a specialist, but I do know that it's definitely something to take very seriously, to understand wearing a mask and can be between life or death, honestly. I think some of our loved ones could lose our loved ones, or some people that's close to us, our family. So it's something that I keep saying to my family, my friends, my close group of people, to take it very seriously.
And he says his experience wasn't terrible. He felt like he was in good shape. That helped him a lot. And, you know, that he wasn't able to work out for a bit, but he didn't feel like that was a huge setback in getting ready for the season. And again, thankfully, he has come through it and now can speak about it and is in Orlando with his teammates getting ready to go. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. What song captures your emotions right now? How do you feel about sports as we get set for baseball's opening night, as the NBA hits the court with its first scrimmages, the NHL not far behind, the poor Blue Jays are without a home, whatever it is that you choose? What sport, what song, what tune describes your emotions right now?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I haven't heard the song in so long, but I do love the song. I just got my words mixed up. Can I just tell you, that is so appropriate. And also, think about the last time you heard a Pointer Sisters tune. It's amazing. A good suggestion. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, Matt Moore from Denver, the Action Network, talking about the blissful bubble that is the NBA's restart. 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico can already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. more. John is listening in New Jersey. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio. John.
Hello.
Hey, you're up, sir.
Hi. Amy, first of all, I want to say thank you. Because today might have been one of the third worst day of my life, other than my mom and dad passing away. I have to say that Moose and Maggie, a great show, but I think that Chernoff needs to put you and Jastrzemski together midday.
Oh, sir, I'm not a midday person. I appreciate that. You're very sweet, and JJ's great, but I am a night owl, and middays would be painful for me. I love working nights, so I don't think I'm going anywhere anytime soon. But I appreciate your compliments. Thank you so much.
Song about sports returning, Limelight by Rush, showing my age.
And is that because you feel like they are worthy of it? They are deserving of it?
I think so. I think Pete Alonso is. Jeff McNeil is.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to seeing Pete again.
Jacob DeGrom is. And I'm a Mets fan, obviously. That's true and true.
Well, good. Then you must be excited about Friday afternoon.
You have no idea.
Oh, I think I do.
And the last thing I'm going to say is all due respect to your friend from Frisco, Gabe Kapler. There's a guy out there who put his capital C in class and capital A in act. I apologize for my voice. Bad news today, but Willie Randolph. How is it that Gabe Kapler got another managerial job? This guy is not even considered Willie Randolph.
Yeah, I don't have an answer to that question. Certainly, Gabe Kapler's connections to the front office in San Francisco was a big reason why he was succeeding Bruce Bochy. I think they had their eye on him even before he was available. There was, a personal connection there that kind of put him at the front of the line. John, I appreciate your phone call. I hope that Thursday is a much better day.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Let's talk to Vernon, who's in Manhattan. Vernon, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Amy, I won't give you my song that I really like, but I just want to say one thing to you. I know you have a bucket list, and I wish you would put on your bucket list for the future that you would do an interview. Remember the movie A League of Their Own?
Of course.
Okay.
It's Tom Hanks.
I wish, yes. I wish you would do a thing in the future of interviewing the women who actually played in those games.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, I had a chance to meet one of them at the Brooklyn Cyclones game, and I think you could learn a lot what they had to go through to play in this game. I know you do interviews, and I love your interviews, so I hope you can just add that to your bucket list.
That would be great. I would love that.
Yes. Okay, so the song I want, Amy, if you can play it, is Sweet Georgia Brown with the Harlem Globetrotters. Amy, you have a nice day.
Thank you, Vernon. I appreciate your phone call. Sweet Georgia Brown. I feel like every show could be better with some Sweet Georgia Brown. Also, something I haven't heard in a really long time. So we're going way back. But we've got some songs that you're suggesting that are more modern that maybe you can recall more quickly. How about Crazy by Gnarls Barkley? That was a good one. Don't Stop Believing. That's Journey. Chicago Bulls anthem, which we heard a lot over the course of The Last Dance. Gosh, doesn't that feel like forever ago, The Last Dance? Going back to April and May when we had the documentary on 5 consecutive Sundays and the 10 episodes. David on Facebook says Glory Days. That's a good one. Also, I think it's really funny how many people think the name of the song is Put Me In, Coach. That's the part that everyone remembers. A lot of you are pointing to Centerfield, which is John Fogerty. What else? Let's see. Chris says Into the Unknown by Panic at the Disco. Kelly says The Boys Are Back in Town by Thin Lizzy. Andy, he's going doom and gloom. Here's a quarter. Call Someone Who Cares, which is, don't tell me, Travis Tritt, I believe. That's an older country song. I think it's Travis Tritt. But, and Ryan, we're going to have to play this one a little bit later, Dave. Well, as long as it's the Will Smith version of Wild Wild West. All right. Love to hear from you. Benny says Jay-Z, 99 Problems. So on Facebook or on Twitter, A-Law Radio, what song appropriately captures, perfectly captures your emotions? Here we are, July 23rd, early morning, 2020. Sports are team sports are about to resume in all kinds of glory, we think. Let's hope they don't go down in a blaze of glory. Straight ahead, Matt Moore of the Action Network from Denver.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Remember the name. Not that you could forget it. Bol Bol. Impressive in his first scrimmage. In fact, his NBA debut with the Denver Nuggets on Wednesday night in the bubble. He is, of course, a giant human being. And he made his NBA debut with 16 points, 10 rebounds, and a half dozen block shots. He was drafted in 19, but has had some foot issues, and so this was a huge deal for him. He says he's been working really hard, especially since he got to Orlando. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome from Denver, Matt Moore of the Action Network, who covers the NBA. So we actually had four scrimmages on the court on Wednesday, even if it was in a ballroom, the first NBA action in more than 4 months. Matt, what was it like to see hoops on the court again?
It was strange. I had to get used to it. I was like, man, there's actual basketball being played, and with no fans and the big LED monitors and the signage. And but it was also, you know, it was obviously scrimmage games, but there was still at that moment of like, oh yeah, sports, like it felt very normal, like I'm watching a game again. And that was, I think, reassuring. It was cool just to be able to see, like, to remember what it was like when we weren't talking about tests and protocols and everything else, and instead we're just like, oh yeah, like how's he rebounding? How's he defending? How's this team going to manage what they're doing? So it was hard to kind of figure out exactly how to feel about it.
That's an interesting way to put it, because I've wondered whether or not when baseball plays games that count, which will be on Thursday night for the first time, as basketball and hockey return, is it going to be possible for us as fans and members of the media to actually watch a game, watch an event, and not be thinking about the virus? Do you think it's possible to just enjoy the basketball or to watch it for basketball?
I think I can get there, just because I think it's important to kind of remember it and to do the job, I think, is part of it. But I also just think it's comfortable and familiar to be in that zone of okay, I'm focused in on the sports aspect of it. And, like, you're not able to really get past it, you know, because, like, there's folks that are on the sideline in masks. Obviously, there's no fans. You're aware of it. And you're also aware that everyone there is aware of it. But I do think that there's an opportunity for at least, you know, I think I always kind of think about, like, that quote that says we contain multitudes. I think about that a lot, where it's like I could simultaneously have the anxiety about what's going on in the world on multiple fronts, and then also be aware of, you know, that there's sport being played, and this is a game I've always loved, and it's great to watch and see the best athletes in the world compete.
Why is the bubble working to this point? And I know it's early, but they've been there a few weeks. Everybody that's going to be there is either there or will have to return. But the process itself, Matt, is working. Why?
Well, one, the players are complying, and that's the biggest thing, is that in order for this to work, everyone has to comply with the rules. The other thing I think, honestly, is when you have the kind of filter that they set up with the number of tests that players have had to take before they even get in. You know, before you get on a plane, you had to clear negative tests. You had to clear negative before you got on a plane to go to Orlando. Then when you arrive, you have to clear two more tests. And if you travel internationally like Nikola Jokic did, you had to clear three tests. And with all of those tests, they're able to effectively weed it out, especially with daily monitoring and keeping an eye on everybody. That's been part of it. And then the other part is some of the protocols that are in place to limit their contact to risk vectors, which are honestly the staff that are living in Florida, which obviously has an exceptionally high, you know, case rate. I think that's an independent concern that I think that Disney has to have with the fact that their employees are maybe most at risk. But those employees also aren't going to be interacting with players. They've sectioned all of those off, and there's such a limited access to anybody that's actually involved in the games, coaches, staff, or players. So there's just all of those things combined create filter upon filter, which so far is holding. Now, you know, it's been less than a month. We got to see how this goes. But so far, the process that the NBA set up has been sound.
Are you surprised at the number of guys that have already left for personal reasons? We haven't even started games that count yet. We've already seen Zion leave, Patrick Beverley, a handful of other guys. I was, I guess, a little surprised that there were so many who got there and left already.
Well, I think part of that is we don't know what's going on, but we do know that, you know, during this time, obviously, you know, cases are one thing you'd be worried about. If there's a personal family situation involving somebody that got sick, that's something that the person has to attend to, and they can't be focused on basketball if that's going on. And then, you know, there's everything else going on in the world. And also, you know, some of this stuff is just, this is just stuff that happens where, you know, somebody, a relative passed away, or there's a family matter that has to be attended to. Like, life continues to happen even under COVID and even during the bubble. And I think also a lot of this is we're seeing it before the games matter. We're still seeing it in scrimmage time. We're still seeing it before July 30th. I think after July 30th, especially for those teams that are vying for a playoff spot, it's going to be harder, which is why some of these individuals are choosing, I'm going to go now because I'm not going to be able to go later.
Matt Moore covers the NBA for the Action Network with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. We saw a real divisive process in negotiating between baseball owners and the players. With the NFL, I don't know if we're divisive yet, but you've got both, well, at least the players, pretty vocal about what they need, what they want, that they're not getting the answers that they seek yet. For both the NBA and, honestly, the NHL, it was a pretty quiet process. How unified do you think everybody is in terms of getting this started, in terms of the money and everything that's going into making this work?
I mean, there's obviously, you know, the Kyrie Irving uprising is, you know, kind of what it's called. But, like, you know, Dwight Howard was part of that, too. Avery Bradley, I think he really had maybe the best comments on it in terms of the concrete things that he wanted from the league. We're seeing, I think, two things. One, that the NBA and the players were transparent with one another. And everyone made it clear to everybody, like, look, these are the financial ramifications if we don't play. We told, like, and the approach was always from the league, we understand if you don't play. You're not going to be punished if you don't play. Like, we get it. Like, this is extremely dangerous, and there's a very important social movement happening at the same time against, you know, racial injustice and police brutality. We understand. If you don't come, we understand. But this is the ramifications for both the league and you and your future earnings and your teammates' future earnings and everybody attached to basketball. This is what happens. And those numbers, I think, painted a pretty stark picture. And then the other thing, I think it's pretty transparent that the players felt that they would have a platform to speak on these issues. And, like, I've been concerned about that because of a number of dynamics in terms of, you know, corporatism and other things, as well as, like, the media being mostly white, including myself, like, we're not the best adept to provide that platform, and we're the ones asking questions, which is why I think it's important that you have things like Marcus Smart and Jeremy Grant talking about Breonna Taylor in response to questions that are about other things and just saying, I want to keep the focus here because this is a big thing. Like, if I'm going to have a platform and this is my platform, I'm going to speak about these issues. And so I think their wielding of that makes it easier for them to put those issues at ease. And the NBA's plan for containing the virus has been so good, again, so far, that I think that's also the other reason, combined with the money, that they were able to get the deal done as they did.
And the money they're throwing at the problem, too, the challenge is $150 million to make this bubble work and to address the concerns of the players. Matt Moore is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So we had four scrimmages, and one of them featured Bol Bol, his NBA debut. What did you see?
You know, there's been so much hype coming out of Denver about him. I've kind of been like, okay, sure, yeah, I'm sure he's the best shooter in the gym. Uh-huh, okay. And then you see him come out, and he has this massive 16-point, 10-rebound, 5-block day, including he blocked a shot, got the ball, ran it up the floor, and hit a transition three. Like, that's a wild highlight for somebody of his size. Really impressive. clear that there's still holes. Wasn't the most efficient game, but I'm not going to nitpick him in his first game in a scrimmage. Did show the kind of talent that's possible. I think really what's really wild is, you know, Michael Malone, because so many players are not available yet for the Nuggets, he ran out of a lineup where Bol was playing small forward, and you had Nikola Jokic and Paul Millsap and Jeremy Grant and all these guys on the court at the same time. And it does kind of show you, though, the future for Denver, because MPJ, Michael Porter Jr., who's not cleared yet to join the team, he's another one that you add to this. Their future is all super long, super tall, super skilled guys who can all shoot the lights out. It's a pretty wild team in theory.
But do we really want Jokic manning the point?
Hey, he's lost all that weight. He can do it now. He's just slightly bigger. You know, I mean, look, what's funny, though, is throughout the season, really, and for the last couple of years, he is the point guard. He may not bring the ball up. That's Jamal Murray's job. But after the ball is brought up, everything runs through Jokic, and he's still the decision maker. He decides how things are executed, and he's the point of attack. He's the trigger always. So, you know, he's been the point guard. It's just that now he's actually listed at that, which is just a really wild thigh at his size.
The average height of that starting group, I saw this online, 82 and a half inches.
Just wild. Just wild. The Wizards actually had no idea what to do with it. Like, the little guards were just, like, looking at the sideline, like, what am I supposed to do here? Like, what do you want me to do with this?
I keep coming back to the number of teams or looking at the teams that have the veteran leadership, guys who have faced a lot of adversity in their careers, not necessarily like this, of course, because there hasn't ever been anything like this, but adversity that they've had to fight through, and that voice, that leadership can be so valuable. A team that's kind of been through the fire already, which is why Toronto is a team that I feel like could thrive in this environment, and certainly the Lakers, only because of, you know, of what LeBron James bring to the table. But I do feel like without the leadership of Rajon Rondo and Avery Bradley, they could be lacking in that area.
Yeah, and then you've got, you know, Dwight Howard, who's basically out there saying he doesn't believe in vaccinations, which is, you know, wild, and gotten in trouble for not wearing a mask. All these things are a little concerning. But I think the Lakers, the big thing with them is just their floor is so high. And everyone kind of notches that up to, well, they have LeBron and Anthony Davis. And sure, that's the baseline. But the other thing is, when Frank Vogel took over the team and they reshaped what this roster was, they built a defense first squad. And that's who they've been all year. They're tough, they're physical, they're veterans, they're smart, and they're led by two of the most dangerous players in basketball. They're not a high three-point team, which makes them a little bit vulnerable to a team like Houston. But you talk about the veteran stuff, that's where the defense, I think, really shows up, is if they need to get a stop, they can get a stop. And that is another reason why you believe in Toronto is, look, Toronto is 18th in half-court offense this year. Like, that's really not impressive. But they have the most versatile defense in the NBA. They can throw any look at you and will throw any look at you to disrupt you. And those teams, I think, especially in this weird environment with so much going on, that can say, we will absolutely throw a wrench into whatever it is that you want to do if we can get stops. I think those teams really are an advantage. We're in an offensive league. I think these are going to be defensive playoffs.
Interesting. Well, certainly defense travels, and since there's no advantage in terms of the home court, that's helpful. Did you think we would ever get to this point where there are actually games on the court again? It felt like an eternity, Matt.
It was a roller coaster. On Mondays, I would think, oh, there's no way this is going to pull this off. They just can't even do this. And by Friday, I'd be like, they can do this. This can happen, right? Like, this can work. And so, you know, every day is just, I've maintained it was the player's decision to play. It was the league's decision to pursue the revenue. The fans definitely want it. We're seeing that already. And all everyone can do is hope that the systems hold and we can have something to look forward to distract us from everything else going on.
Definitely helps when you have 150 mil to throw at the problem.
Absolutely.
You can find Matt on Twitter in a couple places, at Matt Moore, TAN, which is the Action Network, where he covers the NBA, or his own Twitter, HP Basketball. It's always good to catch up with you. Enjoy the hoops. I can't believe we're watching it. Eek.
I know. It's so exciting. Thanks for having me on.
So that wasn't a song, but that was a little exclamation on my point. Eek. I do love eek, right? And sometimes use it on Twitter. Woo is another one of my go-tos. I feel like that appropriately expresses my emotions very often on social media. There's no way to misinterpret woo. Can't do it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. And coming up on Thursday, in addition to Major League Baseball's opening night, you've got 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, a special on CBS Sports Network, What It Means to Be Me. And it will reveal the complexity of what it means to be Black in the United States of America today. Don't miss this, as Grant Hill, Lisa Leslie, Nate Burleson, and many more give their opinions and their perspectives on this subject. It's CBS Sports Connected, only on CBS Sports Network. Again, at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. In terms of Major League Baseball, you're going to need your remote finger, your remote thumb to be active and engaged. We've got first pitch of the 2020 season. The World Series champion Nationals hosting the World Series hopefuls in the New York Yankees and their new ace, Garrett Cole, against Max Scherzer. That one's coming up at 7:08 D.C. time. No, seriously, that deserves an eek. I mean, it's here. You guys, it's here. Just what, 15 hours to wait now until, or I guess it would be 14 hours until we get baseball on the field. And that's followed by Giants at Dodgers. And if you missed my conversation with the sports virus, I swear that's his podcast and it's legit. Joe Castellano, my friend from the Bay Area, he's been known as the virus for over a decade, and his podcast is called The Sports Virus based on his nickname. He was great on our podcast talking about the Giants, the Dodgers, the Mookie Betts contract. So you want to make sure you go back and listen to that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.